Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Barrel It Up. I'm Jay Jambrone, your host. And today we're at Kite Monroe Baseball Complex in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, my hometown, a field that I never got to play on when I was a youngster. And I'm very jealous because we're watching a game behind us right now that I get to see of 70 and over ball players, my favorite division. And I'm here with Mike Giuliano, who's in charge of all this here in the Detroit area, this enormous complex. And Mike, welcome back to the show again.
Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back this year.
Yeah, last year we tried to do this, and Mike was in the hospital. He had done something. He was misbehaving himself in some way that caused him to be in the hospital. We'll get some details on that in just a second. And the gentleman that I was going to interview, we had to do in his home because it was raining and we couldn't do it here at the field. So it's a beautiful day. I don't see a single cloud in the sky. And Mike, bring us up to date on why we couldn't talk to you in person last year.
Well, you know, last year, unfortunately, I joined that cancer club, which, by the way, we are not accepting any other members.
That's good.
But fortunately, everything turned out well. They say I'm cancer-free.
Oh, fantastic.
I just have to go through all of the tests, various tests coming up in the next month or so and see different doctors. But everything is pointing good. I had very good fortunate luck and a lot of angels behind me.
Great, great.
So I'm proud to say, glad to say that it's it's worked out well. But yeah, last year at this time, I was in the hospital recovering from surgery, so I couldn't talk to you.
And how long were you out?
I was probably out for a couple of months. I mean, I didn't go to Arizona. I mean, yeah. I started radiation treatments on September 2nd, and my last radiation treatment was October 20th, and on October 22nd, I was in Arizona. I couldn't really play last year, but I was out there.
Now, how are you feeling, though, after the treatments?
I was feeling fine.
Yeah.
I was feeling fine. You know, I had it up in my throat area, so I just couldn't talk. It was a little sore up there. I didn't have the severe side effects as what some people have.
Yeah.
But it turned out well. And, you know, some people were glad that I couldn't talk.
Let's put I was going to say, you know, how did your teammates feel about that?
Well, I couldn't yell, so that was good. You know, a lot of pointing and stuff, so that was fine.
And they weren't doing anything you would have yelled at them for anyway, right?
I never yell at my teammates. I never get frustrated. I never say anything bad about them. You know, it's all good and fun.
Now, since it's been a little over a year since we've talked to you, how's the league been in that time?
I think the league's been fine. We stayed the same. We have the same amount of teams this year as we did last year, right at 52 teams, I believe.
Yeah.
Six age groups, 18, 30, 40, 50, 60, and 70. And it's all going great. Again, couldn't ask for anything better, really.
So many leagues have that problem about getting enough teams for those upper age groups, like 60 and 70. How's that been for you?
I think it's been really well here, and the reason for that is that we started in 1988 as a 30 and over league,
right?
And as those 30 year old players kept getting older, that's what's made it easy to start. Like when we went to the 40 league,
yeah,
had a lot of players that were in their 40s. Same thing with the 50 and the 60, 65, 70. So as all these players are getting older, it's really been kind of easy to start an older division league.
Yeah.
And then now we have 18 teams in the 18 and over, which is good.
Yeah.
I keep telling those guys, they're the future of the league.
Some right. Oh, right.
Not, you know, believe it. You know, and so it's, and they are, they're the future. And so as these guys keep getting older, they'll move up.
Right, right. Now, one of the things we ran into in Southern California was that the guys that were like in the 40 division, you're trying to start a 50 division, but they don't want to leave the team that they've been playing with. How did you work around that to get things started?
That happens a lot. We have a lot of guys that play on multiple teams. All right. So, for example, in our 40 and over league, I don't put 30 and over games or 50 and over games on the same day.
Ah, there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
In the 60 and over division, I don't schedule the 50s on the same day.
Yeah.
70s, well, I try to put them on a different day, but due to scheduling conflicts, like today, there's a 70 game in the morning, and then the 60s are playing tonight at 6 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
But there's a handful of guys that do play 60 and 70, and they just, they'll deal with it. They'll just get a little stiff after the 70 game and go stretch out or something. And
that's right.
And they'll be there for the you know, for the 50 and over, and I got Bob. Hey Bob, come here a second. I want you to meet Bob. Bob's
okay.
That guy that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
So all right, hey. Bob, have a seat.
You're not in trouble. Don't worry about it. You're not in
Bob,
trouble.
Have a seat. Bob, this is Jay Chambrone. He does a
podcast
called Barrel It Up, and he was asking me, like anybody in the league that has a story. We did a podcast last year, and he wanted to come here last year, but it was pouring down rain. That was when I was in the hospital, so he's back in town.
Okay.
Now he's talking, and he was saying, hey, how many guys in your league, whoever has a story? I said, well, basically, you can just pick one, because everybody has a story.
Yeah.
But I was telling him about a few guys. I was telling him, you know, about you and the bats, and I said, there's no guy that knows bats more than you. So I think he would be a good guy to talk to. If you want to know anything about baseball bats, you talk to Bob Escamilla right here.
Yeah, we make bats, and we've been doing it for about 15 years.
Have you?
Making bats, yeah. And then we drive a two-hour drive. Today's a two-hour drive.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
from where?
Pinconning.
Oh, wow.
The old cheese capital of Michigan.
Yeah.
I was going to be capital of Michigan. But anyhow, we've been doing bats, and it started off when I was Roy Hobbs. I've been always wanting to make bats. When Roy Hobbs talked to a guy from BWP in Pennsylvania, and they said, hey, we got a machine for sale.
Oh, wow.
And I said, all right, the hydraulic feet. So wife and I, my son, took a drive, and we went down there for a few days, kind of hung out and seen the machinery. And,
yeah.
And decided, hey, yeah, we'll purchase it. So we picked it up and been making bad sense.
What do you use?
We use maple.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Birch.
And,
ash.
Wow.
Yeah. And we push maybe 100, 150 bats a year.
Uh-huh.
You know.
How wide? How much are your bats?
Well, anything. They're roughly about $100 on them.
Yeah.
About $125. It's got a composite. We put a sleeve on it, a fiberglass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we composite that. And those go for $125.
But that's still a good price if you're looking, you know, if you go to the tournaments and see what prices are on those bats these days.
Well, my goal was, when I made a bat, I want to make some good quality wood bats for the kids in our area that could afford a good wood bat.
Yeah.
And I I could sell them up to $135, $140. I wouldn't sell as many, but, you know, they value that. But we sell them for $100, and, you know, they're wood. So they will, they do, they once in a while, they break. You know? And what do you do? Especially if I break one, which is, I broke 3 in 9 years.
Yeah, that's pretty good, yeah.
Here in MSBL, but as long as you square it up, you know, then, you know, I had no problem.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's amazing with bats, because I still have my bat from when I was 13 and started pony ball. You know, the bats were a little different in those days and everything. I don't dare bring it out because it's that old now. You know, it's 60-some years old. But, yeah.
Yeah, we started using swinging wood bats. We stopped swinging them in 75.
Right.
And I went to Teal Handy. And at Teal Handy, they got us our Adirondack bats, first ones, and aluminum. And, man, we loved them. They didn't break. We'd break maybe one or two bats a year. And so we started using them, and everybody thought, hey, this is the greatest at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was going to get into making wood bats. because right now they're taboo. For me, you know. But you know, a lot of the kids swing. My grandkids swing wood bats.
Yeah,
little league and pony league. And you know,
that's good. It's good for them to get used to that because you know, right now, if you're in high school or college, the only chance you get to swing wood bats before you're going to be a professional is to go to, like, to the Cape Cod League or something like that.
Right now, even a few colleges in the States use wood bats in their league. Then they go to the aluminum bat, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they're paid to swing. You know, their colleges are paid, you know, to swing. Marucci's or whatever bats are out there, Louisville's. But the thing about the bats is it's the same wood, but you look for quality.
Yeah.
You look for straight grain. Because my bat's no different than a Marucci or Louisville. The only difference is the price.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. I mean, but you look at my grain, you can't get it better than 0 to 3 degrees. And 0 to 3 degrees is a Major League Baseball bat.
Right.
That's the grain. And they got ways to measure the slope. And umpires can look at your bat. They've got the ink dot test.
Oh, yeah.
They'll put their little magnified on it, and they'll see the grain. And they can tell that grain if it's a good grain or if it's a bad grain.
Yeah.
But they hardly ever check that. I've had a few of my bats, you know, where it swung over there at Louisville or at Midland, the Loons Field. Some of the guys were using my bat. They found out that we're not licensed through.
Right.
So they weren't allowed. I wasn't allowed to sell them. I mean, they wanted to buy some bats from me, but I wasn't licensed.
What's it take to get that kind of a license?
$15,000.
Oh, that's all. Geez.
A year.
Yeah.
It's not a one-time deal. It's a yearly deal. So, yeah, it's quite pricey.
How much wood do you have to go through before you find what you can really make something out of?
Well, we buy from Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Or we'll buy from Canada.
Uh-huh.
And we just order, and I tell them what I want, and they'll sell me a quality wood lumber. I mean, I can pay up to $50 almost for a premium.
Right.
But, you know, if I can also pay $30 at another company for a premium bat. Yeah. So that's just a billet.
Yeah.
Then we put the billet on the machine, turn the bat. But before we do that, we weigh each billet. Some might weigh 89 ounces. Some might weigh 79.
Uh-huh.
Some might weigh 106 ounces. So we know the 106 is going to be too heavy, so we make a skinnier billet.
Yeah.
If the lighter billets, we can make a bigger barrel. So things like that. Just it's through a lot of time and looking at how to make bats your way. I mean, so I can make a nice Yaz bat.
Or a
nice 243. I know in my head what I can make with the bat.
Yeah.
Just looking at the weight.
Yeah. Do you take custom orders on those from people? Yeah.
All the time. That bat, I just, Mike showed you there. He wanted a little bling to it. So we got him that bat. You know, he likes the bling. Some guys just like the straight. Regular bat, just two dips, and just a beauty mark, black tape. It looks pretty, and it's simple.
Yeah.
But some guys want black barrel, navy blue handle, or white handle. Whatever they want, we'll do the best we can to get to
them. I still am totally incompetent about taping my bat. I got to find somebody to tape my bats for me because I make a mess out of it every time.
That's the same with me, too. I mean, I had a buddy of mine that, you know, taped my bat, and I said, okay, I could do that. And I've been doing it ever since.
I wonder, does Mike get more hits out of that since he got the bling on there?
No, that's why they never break.
he's not telling the truth. He squares them up good. You square it up, ain't nothing better you can do. I mean, it hit right at a guy. The other day, I hit a line drive. Right to right center, playing right center, and right at him. Next time up, I hit a blooper right behind the pitcher, and the infield hit. You know what the heck is? So they even out. You've heard that. You know they all.
Yeah,
even out.
It's really funny because you know you're up at bat and you hit that just absolute shot to the outfield, right? And everybody's going, oh, wow, wow, wow. And you know it was hit right at him. You know what's going to happen. And, you know, sorry, guys.
I hit one out there at Brother Rice the other day, man. Everybody said, man, you tagged that one. I said, no, I missed it. There's a sweet part of the bat where you like to get it.
Yeah.
And I just missed it probably by 2 inches. I hit it out, foul ball. And, you know, and I said, and the guy said, man, you're really powerful. I said, yeah, not really. But you know, when you hit a ball hard, you know the feeling. There ain't nothing better than that.
I always describe it as that you can't feel it. you can't feel that you've hit the ball.
And that's yeah. How old it is. Just, yeah. It's just, and then, wow, the ball just soars or just takes off past the third baseman or past the pitcher. Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, it hits so hard, and like you say, the feeling is just –
yeah.
It just feels so good. I mean, it's God. And a lot of people say you can't, but you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can feel it, but I know what you're saying,
though. Yeah.
You hit a perfect, you know, it's like, man, that, and it just jumps right off.
I've been buying, well, I don't anymore, but I used to buy Brett bats because they didn't break. They just never break.
You know Jim Havens?
No.
Yeah, Jim Havens out of Lansing sells a lot of, he used to sell a lot of Brett bats. Big for him and his brother George. And,
yeah.
George Brett's brother.
Yeah.
They come up with the bat. They were doing good and they made good bats. And
they don't sell direct anymore.
Seen them. They sold out.
Oh, did they?
And then, yeah, that's what Jim was telling me. He sells Guerrero gloves. I mean, he doesn't anymore. He's retiring too. You know.
Wow.
So eventually, you know, like I'm 70, you know, I like to keep making bats, but eventually, yeah, you just kind of back off, just kind of retire, you know.
How long have you been in this league?
I've been in this league 9 years.
Have you?
It's a fun league, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, 2-hour drive. My brother, he drives the same thing, about hour and 40 minutes because he's in Bay City. I'm in Pinconning, so he's a little closer. But
wow.
We were playing in Flint, Camp Bont. You can't steal, can't do this. Plus, you can use aluminum bats.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't making bats at the time. So I heard about, Mike Giuliano. I met him at the coaches convention at Mount Pleasant at the casino. And
that's where they have coaches conventions, at the casino, huh?
Okay,
that's a way to get good attendance, yeah.
And it used to be a really good place, but now, you know, the attendance is down. And, you know, I always ask Mike how the attendance. He says, vendors aren't there, the coaches ain't showing up. But that's where I met Mike.
Yeah.
And then he put an ad in Facebook, because we're friends on Facebook, and then I kind of shared it with my buddy, Mike Harris, and Mike says, hey, I'm going to go play ball.
Yeah.
And then my brother Tony says, yeah, I'm going to go on this. Why don't you come along? I said, yeah, man, that's a long drive. Yeah, we've been doing it since.
I feel bad for me to play in the Arizona League. It's like an hour drive, and I hesitate at that. Now I feel really bad that I'm shirking my responsibilities to go out there and play. 75.
Oh, yeah, 70. But, you know, I enjoy the game, you know. But the drive is starting to get to me now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, people say, what about gas prices? Well, if I don't have enough money for gas prices, shame on me.
That's right.
I work at Dow Chemical, and I work, you know, mats, and I do other things, lawn furniture, and I, you know. But I just had an offer yesterday. Someone, that wasn't an offer, but I got 10 acres, you know, my building, my shop, my house, and everything. The guy says, hey, we're interested in buying it all.
Wow, that's tempting.
So what would you ask for? I says, you're the one who called me to own the property. You tell me what you want to give.
That's what you got to do, yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
So, that's the way it is right now. But I will continue to, Lord willing, make bats. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
And what's the name of your
It's called Barrel It Up.
Barrel It Up. Okay.
Yeah. I'll get you a card and all that kind of stuff before we.
Are you too?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
We got clips on Facebook and Instagram, but not on YouTube yet. I need assistance with that.
Well, we had last week here, we had a guy taking pictures, a freelance writer, photographer.
Right.
And he took some pictures and he kind of did a little interview with me too. And I, you know, he's going to give me some info. I got my email address and everything, but I haven't gotten that yet. But.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, it'd be interesting seeing where you go with this, you know.
Yeah. Now, you know, these interviews, I interviewed Mike last year on Zoom, but I don't take the, you know, I'd like to come out and do stuff at fields.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I use this little device.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're hands-on, one-on-one.
Yeah,
you do it on Zoom, and I've done that before with COVID garbage, you know.
It's amazing how many of us don't know how to do any of that stuff, though. You know, it's amazing because I still get questions when I interview somebody afterwards is what station am I going to listen to this on? I said, well, it's not on the radio. It's on,
Okay, so but are you going to eventually put it on something?
Yeah, you know, I got to get it on YouTube. Okay. You know, I got to get it on YouTube. Yeah, YouTube, and
you know, I get on YouTube. I'm on my phone punching in Kubota.
Yeah.
Tractor, changing out filters on my phone.
Yeah.
I go home and it's on my TV. It's like, wow, everything's connected. Everything is so connected. And I don't know if it was Alexa got me connected, but I'm
yeah.
connected to my television. And this morning I'm watching how to change out filters. And just, you know, or I'll punch in, you know, something about pitching mounds or, you know, clay.
Yeah.
How to work on a pitching mound, home plate, and run and put down the clay and things like that. It's, I mean, it's YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you ever got anything, Google, and a lot of it, YouTube it. And
yeah.
It'll come right there, tell you exactly how to do or what you want to do, you know. It's pretty cool.
And I will put in the description how somebody can get in touch with you okay. if they're interested in bats and all that. We'll get that put together a little later on and
put it in there. Ask me a bats co company. Just, you know, a lot of people just go ask me a bats and Google it. It'll come right up.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Ask me a bats. It'll come up. But we, like we say, go to MSBL Detroit and you can
yeah.
almost go on there and someone will turn you to us.
Wow.
Pretty cool. A real quick story, though.
Yeah.
We was in Florida here a few years ago. I'm going to say about 8 years ago. Roy Hobbs.
Yeah.
Border City Brewers. And we're playing ball, and then these guys are talking about beating this team out of Bay City as All Saints in 1975 for the state championship.
Uh-huh.
And I said, state championship? All Saints never was. They were never there in 75. They'd been around.
Yeah.
So, Teal Handy. Yeah, that's what it was, Teal Handy. Well, I pitched that game against the guy telling the story. And I was playing Plymouth Salem.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Said, yeah, I played up Plymouth Salem. I was a number two hitter, Wally Walcott, or Brian Walcott. You call him Wally, but in just a little short story, and boom, here years later, and now I face him, and we play together, and it's just great.
How did you do against him in that game? Do you remember?
We got beat 5-3 state championship.
Oh, did he have anything to do with that?
He said he got a hit. He was a second hitter, got a hit, but the game was good. Up into the fifth inning, we're up 23. We're up 3-2, and I was pitching, and my arm right in here started cramping up. It was 90-degree weather.
Ooh.
The format back then was if you play that morning, you're going to play a half hour, 40 minutes later.
Ooh, yeah.
The second game. Where now the format, you play one day, Friday, and then you come in Saturday, play for the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that format at all. I mean, I'd love to see that today. You know, my arm it wouldn't have cramped up. And it's never cramped up since.
Jeez.
But it was like 90-some degrees out. And I couldn't roll the curve. When I roll the curve, that's what they saw.
Oh, gee. God.
Of course, in high school, them boys, they can hit fastballs. You know? So you got to miss it up. You know, a little fastball.
Yeah, they've been in the cages hitting fastballs for days and days and days.
And
so
and they're a good team. One of the guys signed Willette. I can't think of his last name, but he signed with San Diego that day.
Yeah.
You know, so wow. Minor league he threw hard. He's left-hander. He'd come in and freaking just threw BB. And he already pitched the first game, so you can throw three more innings. And I thought I was the last batter up. He threw about four or five pitches, you know, finally got me on strikeout. But that was throw hard.
Gosh.
And it was fun. I mean, but it's, you know, it's funny, you know, it's that many years ago. And how you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when the kids are playing in districts and regionals. And, man, you bring that up. I remember playing baseball. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. The stuff I remember from playing school ball and pony league ball and all that. I was thinking the other day, the only things I remember from, especially like the championship games or the regional championships and stuff like that, are the negative ones.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I said, well, wait a minute. I know I scored some runs and stuff, but I don't remember that. I just remember the guy throwing me out on a fly ball from third trying to score. That's the one I remember.
And that's what I tell the guys. That's what I tell all the kids and all the guys. Baseball is a game, it's a short memory game. You got to have a short memory. If you start thinking about your last at bat, before that when you did this and that, which was not good,
yeah,
then you're going to have issues. Man, forget about that.
Yeah.
Go on the positive side because it's a game of failure. I mean,
that's right.
Remember, you're going to remember 70% of the bad things. Oh, man, that's not good. You got to forget about that.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn, my little brother struck me out. I forget that, but he'll bring it up Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Now, you've done Roy Hobbs and MSBL. How do you compare the two?
MSBL is more laid back. I like that better. Yeah. MSBL, but the MSBL is good, but till you get to Arizona, it's just some of the things that is allowed. But in Roy Hobbs with Giff and Tom, he's really strict. License, IDs, everything. And a couple times, ask Mike, we got cheated out of some wins. I mean, we got guys in their 60s throwing at 55 years old. He's telling us he's 60. We believe him. The guy freaking run like a deer. I mean, he was a big guy like that, big old, but fastest guy in the league. And he could throw pretty good. He's a good pitcher, and he could hit. And here he's 55 at the time. And I heard that in Florida to Roy Hobbs that we're talking about this. I'm not going to bring his name up, but they bought it up. I said, oh, the guy said, he's a cheater, man. They pay him. Wherever he is, they pay. He's paid
Yeah, I've had to deal with that so many times.
Well, there's another time, too, wasn't there? But anyhow, or last year, Last year, they got guys going back and forth from one field to another playing against us. And going back, changing uniforms, going back, going forward. And it's just, I mean, he had the pitcher who pitched, he's in the National Division. He's pitching down in the Cactus. You can't do that.
Yeah, no.
You can't do that. And he was. And then the next the catcher, you can't come down from the National down and play in the Cactus. And it wasn't fair.
Yeah, I had a late night game one time. And we were playing a team, and they had that same situation where they had guys on two different teams. And so our game didn't get started until after 9 o'clock. It was like 10 o'clock at night or whatever it was. And we looking over there, and there's like 35 guys over on their bench because these guys had come over from the other game, and they're interspersing them and all that kind of stuff. And how do you keep track of all that and all that kind of stuff?
But I do enjoy Arizona better.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but it's more laid back. It's more comfortable over there. I mean, you play over there with Roy Hodge. These guys I played with, they've won 20-plus World Series, some of them guys. they're good ball players. And to ask you is a privilege. Say, hey, thanks.
Yeah. I don't know where they put all those rings.
Oh, that's the thing.
I have enough to fit in a little thing, but where do you put? Because I know guys like that just – I know one guy who – was playing in Napa, won a championship there, and then won at least three or four rings when he was in the World Series for MSBL.
You know Fred Krause.
Yeah.
He's one of them, man. That guy's a ball player. And he still plays good ball. I mean, I look at a lot of these guys, they come out here, I'm 70, and it's just, dang, they're 80 years old. Larry Belladino, Larry Belladino.
Yeah.
Larry. He's a good baseball player. I mean, Rick, our pitcher over there, Rick Everett.
Yeah.
Arizona guy. The guy walking this way with his phone.
Yeah.
They're the guy you got to interview a little bit,
Matter of fact, I think I've played with him before.
Oh, Rick?
Yeah, I think so.
You want to meet him?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna close out this one real fast and then start up another one.
All right.
So I'm going to make sure all your contact information is in there. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my executive producer, Susan, and my associate producer, Robin. Please follow, please rate, and please subscribe. It really helps the channel, and I appreciate both of you guys being here, and Mike's going to stick around because we're going to talk to somebody else in a minute, and we'll be hanging around here at the ballpark for a little while longer. Thank you.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.